The Eric Stewart Show, pointing you home on WMAL.
How do your emotions rule you when it comes to buying something? You understand what I mean, right? You get excited about purchasing something. You finally get to the point where you're going to buy a car, and then all of a sudden, you kind of lose your brain. I don't know about you, but I think it's true about anything. We tend to lose our brains. When we don't have the money to buy something, we think about what we want to do very, very carefully. But oftentimes, the emotions get the better of us when it comes time to purchase. And this works on behalf of a seller. This works to their favor. On behalf of a buyer, can really work against them. Or vice versa. If the seller puts a house up for sale and becomes somewhat desperate because they don't see a reaction immediately in the sale of their property, they can be afraid that the property is just not going to sell. And they make adjustments too quickly. They capitulate too fast in order to try to attract buyers. Now, there's a place for quick adjustments in price when you overprice, of course, right? But that is an emotional quality that, as a real estate agent, it's my job to be aware of and then guide my client based upon who I know that person to be and my limited exposure to them and encourage them to stay the course. Let's not rush. In fact, you've heard me chat on the show about how important it is to time how you put a house up for sale. Here it is. It's the end of June 2016. So by all accounts, we're a week away from running into the 4th of July weekend. And you know, I have a saying, when the fireworks go up, the sales come down. And if you look historically, this is always the case, that the number of houses that come on the market right now, like I'm telling you right now, there's 40% more houses for sale than there were in February. Okay. And so what do we have? March, April, May, and June. So we had 4 months and inventory has climbed up by 60% from that time in February. So there's been a dramatic increase. A lot of houses have sold. But if you're on the market now, you have to be aware of the fact your property's going to be competing with whatever's out there and for less number of buyers, because most buyers are going to go on vacation in July or August. They're not thinking about moving as often. You've got relocation buyers, and you've got people coming from China, and you've got people that have not quite purchased yet, and other people whose houses have finally gone under contract that now want to buy into your area. So sure, we'll sell your house, but the numbers are not there. The tide of demand is not quite as strong at this time of year. So you have to be careful recognizing that you're putting your house on the market now, that the impact, you might have to take a little more time to really get a read of whether the price is right or not. I put a house on the market in the beginning of March. I can tell in a week whether or not the price is correct or not. Right now, I don't want to make a capitulative move and drop it, you know, 2 weeks or 3 weeks into the listing. I think that's a little bit desperate because you just aren't going to see a tremendous traffic flow through a property at this time of year compared to some other time, unless you price it very low. A little bit later in the show today, I'm going to talk about a property that's on Sandy Trail. It's out in Fairfax Station, which we took the price down to reflect the condition. And we had over 60 groups through in a period of 5 days this past week, put it up under contract with multiple offers and got it done, right? But then we also priced it below the market. It attracted every single potential buyer in that entire area came out. It was just a feeding frenzy of traffic through revolving door buyers. Granted, we got the seller out of the house before we put it on the market, so we didn't want her to experience that, and she's grateful for that too. If you ignore the emotions that are related to home ownership, it really can lead us to make bad financial decisions, right? And it can really, those decisions can affect us for decades, not just for months and not years, because you take on a mortgage, you take on a debt, or you even get into a house that becomes difficult for you to sell. Earlier this year, I sold a property that the sellers of the property purchased at the height of the market in 2006, 2007. They were so interested in getting out of the property because when they purchased it, they were competing for very limited inventory with tons of other people, and they paid up and above the list price at that time. But they did not perceive the challenges that the property had in terms of its lot and its location, and truly regretted the decision, and it affected them essentially for a 10-year horizon. So be wary of jumping into decisions emotionally. It's really a fact of life. You know that homes come with far more emotional weight than any other investment that we make. A home is a refuge from the world. It's a place to raise a family. And for some people, it's an investment that they hope will bring them a good chunk of money down the road, right? Not just because you're paying off that mortgage, you're killing that debt once every month, but hopefully it rises in value based upon overall demand in that area. We fall in love with houses in a way that we never fall in love with a portfolio of stocks or bonds. We never fall in love with a stock and go, oh, I think about it all the time. No, you move into a house. So you either love that home or you don't love that home. But when you purchase a house, it's expensive to get in and it's expensive to get out. So you want to be careful and considerate and be patient. Once you do identify the right property, you do want to be squared and ready. Robert Garcia from my group will be on the show later to talk about how to compete, because once you do find the house of your dreams, you don't want to miss the opportunity over poor preparation. And Robert will reveal some of how he has helped his clients prepare to make offers, and he's won, even with buyers who are putting down just 5% to beat out other buyers who are putting down 20 and 30%. You'd think, well, if as a seller, you'd want to take a buyer who's putting down so much more cash, but with proper preparation, you can succeed in anything, okay? All too often, we just don't realize that how we feel about a home can blind us when it comes time to buy or sell. And we just let our emotions, they blind us to the cold facts about the market or the realities of ownership, or we prioritize one set of emotional needs over others that are just as strong, but just may not be as evident at first, right? So at first, you might be making a decision to purchase a home for a variety of reasons, and then that shifts because, you know, oftentimes you've got two people in the mix, and if you're not communicating all of what you imagine the house to be and what you want out of the house, you can then create an opportunity for conflict in your marriage that will cause untold problems over a very long period of time. I sit with some sellers and, hey, you know, I'm fiduciarily confidential with all of my clients, and I never share specifics about any one situation with anybody else, including my wife, because it's not anybody else's business. You hire me, you want to know that I've always got your back, right? That said, I observe how couples resolve conflict as they're getting their house ready to sell. And I also sometimes observe hardships that have existed for sometimes decades, decisions that were made and that were made sometimes 30 years before about buying that house. You know, I wouldn't have bought here, but you really wanted it, you know, that kind of thing. Oh, cutting to the heart kind of tough stuff. So we have to be careful not to ignore all the priorities. These things can lead us to make bad financial decisions that can affect us really for decades to come. Think about this. I tell people that selling homes and moving is very overrated. Now, that might sound like a funny thing for a realtor to say, but in reality, my job is to help my clients when they call me to think through what are all the options for selling your house, including not selling your house. Sometimes sellers say, well, I called you because I wanted you to help me sell my house, but you're also talking to me about possibly renting my house out. I say, yeah, I don't really do the rental side, but let's think about what the long-term investment might be for you to keep this property and just rent it out, even if I don't sell it for you. Or have you ever thought about just staying where you are and aging in place? I mean, that's, again, funny that the realtor whose interest is in selling the property, right? That's how I make a living, is off the commission that I charge just from the sale. Why would I talk that way? Because I always try to step into your shoes to think through how can I help you avoid the emotional heartache that comes from making bad financial decisions without considering all of the options that are in front of you. You and I have these opportunities before us. We need to take time in our lives to slow down, think about what we're doing when we're buying or selling, and be careful in that decision. I've got more to discuss about this later in the show today. When I get back, I've got Stuart Rosenthal joining me, plus Cheryl Siraki from Legacies of a Lifetime, right after this.